Supreme Court takes up LGBT rights.
I was fired from being gay.
Bad bounce for the NBA.
I'm sympathetic to our partners who are upset.
President defends Syria move.
We have to bring our people back home.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case that could affect millions of people on the job. The question is, does federal civil rights law protect LGBT people from workplace discrimination? Here's CBS's Jan Crawford.
For 10 years, Gerald Bostock managed an award-winning Atlanta-area program advocating for victims of child abuse and neglect.
Knowing that you're making a positive difference in your community is very powerful.
But then Bostock joined a gay recreational softball league.
And within months of that, the scrutiny began. And then weeks after that, I'm handed that pink slip, and the reason for termination was conduct unbecoming a Clayton County employee.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments in his and other cases that ask whether federal civil rights law, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of an individual's race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, protects employees from discrimination based on their sexual orientation or gender identity.
A court decision's expected by next summer. Billions of dollars are at stake as the National Basketball Association works overtime to patch things up with China. Beijing was angered by a tweet from the Houston Rockets general manager expressing support for protesters in Hong Kong. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he won't apologize for the tweet, but is apologetic about the outcome and reaction.
It's my hope that for our Chinese fans and our partners in China, they will see those remarks in the context of now a three-decade, if not longer, relationship.
Asia correspondent Remy Innocencio.
Houston Rockets superstar James Harden worked to undo any damage following his general manager, Daryl Morey's tweet.
We appreciate the support that they give us individually and as an organization. So, you know, we love you.
The Rockets have long been the adoration of Chinese fans, ever since Chinese superstar Yao Ming took the NBA by storm in 2002. Yao is now the president of the Chinese Basketball Association and has suspended the league's relationship with the Rockets. Several Chinese businesses followed suit. CBS Sports lead NBA analyst Bill Ryder.
When the Chinese government is offended, they will use their considerable financial might, and they're going to continue to do that to the Rockets. They're going to isolate them.
China fired back in a statement this morning, saying it would immediately suspend its sports channel broadcast arrangements of the NBA preseason.
Well, Turkey says it's poised for a military operation in northeast Syria. It means Kurdish forces who were U.S. allies in the fight against ISIS could soon be under fire. CBS's Weijia Jiang says it's all playing out as the U.S. pulls troops out.
Some of the president's staunchest Republican allies in Congress wasted no time condemning his decision. Pat Toomey called it a threat to our national security. Liz Cheney described it as a catastrophic mistake. And Lindsey Graham said it's a shot in the arm to the bad guys, devastating for the good guys. Even Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the move would increase the risk that ISIS and other terrorist groups regroup.
I respect both opinions. The problem with the other opinion is, when do we leave? When do we leave? We're going to stay there forever?
I'm Stephen Portnoy. The president insists he's doing what he always vowed he'd do.
We want to bring our troops back home. And I got elected on that.
His critics in both parties say they fear invading Turkish forces will annihilate America's Kurdish allies. Mr. Trump appeared to shrug off those concerns.
Turkey, Syria, let them take care of it.
But he also issued a warning to Turkey, tweeting, "If Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the Turkish economy."
Well, back in July, U.S. diplomat Gordon Sondland used texts to urge Ukraine to open investigations President Trump wanted. Today, as CBS's Nancy Cordes tells us, he'll testify to Congress.
The former mega donor to President Trump will be asked today about his insistence that there were no quid pro quos of any kind. He wrote that text after it was suggested that the administration was withholding military aid to pressure Ukraine into investigating the Bidens. Lawmakers issued subpoenas to the Pentagon and the White House Office of Management and Budget, demanding documents related to the White House's holdup this summer of millions of dollars in security assistance to Ukraine.
A hospital in Danville, Pennsylvania is trying to figure out the source of a waterborne germ that's infected 8 infants in the neonatal intensive care unit. 3 have died. Dr. Mark Shelley is on the case.
We made sure that we increased the chlorination of the water. We've put some special filters on the taps. We have done extra cleaning, even though we didn't find the organism on the surfaces.
Walgreens and Kroger say they're going to stop selling e-cigarettes, citing new health questions about vaping. Trump administration taking action on forced labor overseas, and it affects a major store chain here in the U.S. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
Baby pajamas sold at Costco warehouses impounded amid accusations that the supplier forced ethnic minorities locked in an internment camp to sew the clothes against their will. Customs cracking down on goods from 5 countries amid allegations that they were produced by forced labor, even child labor. The goods also include rubber gloves sold by industry leader Ansell, bone charcoal from Brazil, and diamonds from Zimbabwe. Steve?
The people who run the ACT college entrance exam say starting next fall, students who don't like their scores can retake individual sections of the test instead of the entire thing. 3 scientists awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics for their work on the evolution of the universe. Princeton University's James Peebles sharing the honor with Michelle Mayer and Didier Queloz. Well, how about this today from a whiskey maker? It looks like a laundry pod.
A collection of edible cocktail capsules made from seaweed, meaning no need for a glass, ice, or a cocktail stirrer.
The Glenlivet, one of the world's oldest Scotch distilleries, describes them in an online video now seen by millions. They're being sold at one London bar through Sunday. It seems the daily commute isn't getting any better.
American workers are spending more time getting to work. According to a new report from the Census Bureau, the average American commute hit a new record last year, just over 27 minutes one way. That's 2 minutes longer than in 2009. Over a year, that works out to another 17 hours. And if you go back further to 1980, American workers have lost nearly an hour a week to commuting, the equivalent of adding a full work week over the course of a year. Jim Shenaby, CBS News.
Well, the Twitterverse lit up when Ellen DeGeneres was spotted sitting next to former President George W. Bush at Sunday's Packers win over the Cowboys in Dallas. Pathetic, one person called it, because the Bush administration, quote, worked against the LGBT community. On her show, Ellen said it's what the world needs. She says she is friends with a lot of people who don't share all of her beliefs, and that's okay. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.